You know, in churches all across America today, moms are being honored, and rightly so. But today, as a church, you know, God opened my eyes to this several years ago, and so we do Mother's Day a little bit differently. We still honor moms because that's something. The Scripture says you honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. You'll live long on the earth if you do so. It's one of the promises of God that you can lay hold of. And if you don't understand what honoring your mother is, actually in the very near future, I might even start it next week. I'm still praying about it, but we're going to do a series on honor. Because a lot of people have trouble when it comes to this time of year. On Mother's Day and Father's Day, they have trouble honoring their parents because maybe they didn't have godly parents. Maybe they had parents that maybe did some horrific things to them, and they had some horrible experiences. Maybe they were even abandoned. You know, all kinds of things that people have gone through. And so this can be a very hard time for some people. It can be a very hard, the subject of honor can be very hard for some people to navigate. How do I honor someone who neglected me, or how do I honor someone who abused me? And so that'll be another sermon for another day. But understand, you're not honoring what they did, all the mistakes that they made, but we're honoring them for the position that they have in our lives. Because if it wasn't for them, even though they might have messed up a lot, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have life. Amen. So we're giving honor where honor is due. But today, we not only honor all the mothers here today, but I like to go beyond that. I like to honor all those ladies, whether you're a mother or not. There are ladies like I had an Aunt Nona. I have an Aunt Nona. I shouldn't say had. She's no longer in this world. She's now in heaven. But she passed just within the last couple of years, and she lived to the ripe old age of 98. And which I know is young for some of you, but it doesn't seem that old when you get up in your 70s and your 80s and your early 90s and so on. But and then my sister, who's still living, who never had children. My Aunt Nona never had children, but yet they spent their whole lives blessing children. They spent their whole lives teaching children in church. They spent their whole lives pouring themselves into children. And so they have a mother's heart, even though they never had children of their own. So we honor them today as well. We honor those ladies who had kids and lost them. You know, my mom had 7 children, but 2 of them went to heaven way too soon. One of them at the age of 19 and one at the age of 6. And neither one of my brothers, those 2 of my brothers, I never knew. One passed before I was even born, before I was even a thought. So, for those of you that might struggle with, you know, the fact that you were maybe an accident, hey, join the club. You know, mom and dad had 6 kids, thought they were done, and then 7 years after the 6th kid, I come along. You know, do I have bad feelings about that? Do I feel like I wasn't wanted? Not in the least. God had a plan for me. Amen. And thankfully, I had parents that recognized that too. But even if you have parents that didn't recognize that, you know what? God's plan oftentimes is greater than our human plans. And so, don't feel bad if you were a surprise child too. I think we're special. You know, some of you are born because your parents decided to, and then some of us were born because God decided to. I'm sorry, I'm a little inflated. I'm being a little narcissistic this morning. That's all right. I have a tendency, you know. My birthday's on July 3rd at midnight, which really should have been the 4th, but my mom chose the 3rd. The doctor gave her a choice, but I've been celebrating July 4th. I know it's talk about Independence Day. I don't know what that's all about. I assume the 4th of July celebrations are all about my birthday every year. So that's just the way I roll when I was a kid. It's like, hey, the whole nation's having a party. It must be my birthday. So I'm teasing you a little bit. But back to the moms. You know, there are moms that lost children. There are moms that miscarried. And there are even some that aborted. And, you know, one of the things, and without getting political, one of the things in the great debate on abortion that people don't talk about, and as a pastor you see this side more than most maybe, is all the pain and the depression that so many women go through because they aborted. And you know, the pro-choice side of things doesn't talk about that, doesn't talk about the pain and the guilt that so many live with. And so my heart goes out to those moms, to those ladies that have had that experience in their life. And then, of course, there's the ladies that wanted children and never had them. It just may be that physically they couldn't have them. Maybe they just never got married for whatever reason. But, you know, Mother's Day, sometimes we in churches sometimes can build up moms so much to the point to where if you're a lady that maybe had some of these other experiences and maybe didn't have children, that you end up not even wanting to come to church on Mother's Day because you feel like you're less of a woman and you feel like maybe you're less valuable than those women that have kids. And I want you to know today that's not true at all. You are valuable. You are precious, regardless of what your experience with or without kids has been. And so what we do is we honor all ladies, amen, when it comes to Mother's Day, because I don't ever want women to feel like I need to stay home because it's Mother's Day and it's going to really hurt my heart. And so we've got a little gift that we would like to give all the ladies in the church. It's a little teacup. It's got some goodies in it, and there's a little booklet that goes along with it. And so after church, if you're a woman, swing by the table out there in the fellowship area and pick up your teacup and your book. Whether you have children or not, it's our way of honoring you, our way of celebrating you today, and celebrating all that God created you to be and all that he created you to do. And so it's just our way of blessing you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, that was my segue right into the message today. And we're going to finish up our series today, but I'm going to tie it into Mother's Day. And I'm going to begin with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Paul's writing to Timothy here and says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy." And then he goes on and says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Notice Paul's reminding Timothy of the faith, the genuine faith. That's the real deal. That's old school faith. That's genuine faith. It's not fake faith. It's not hype. It's real faith. It's the God kind of faith that Jesus talked about. And Paul's telling Timothy it was in your grandmother, it was in your mother, and I believe it's in you as well. Amen. The greatest legacy, ladies, that we can leave our children is a legacy of faith. Teach your children to believe God. Teach them how to receive from heaven. Teach them how to lay hold of and take hold of all that God has provided for them. And so we see this here in the scriptures. This legacy that Timothy's grandmother and mother had imparted to him. And so as we wrap up this series on old school faith, I want to wrap it up by talking a little bit about the prayer of faith, because the prayer of faith is really misunderstood a lot. What happens in a lot of churches, and particularly in Word of Faith churches, as we start talking about the prayer of faith, we go through the mechanics of the prayer of faith and what how the prayer of faith works, and I'll go through that here in just a little bit. But one of the things that we oftentimes don't talk enough about is we don't pray this prayer to get in faith. It is the prayer of faith. In other words, you're already in faith when you get ready to pray this prayer. Right? Praying the prayer of faith is not going to help you get in faith. And if you're not already in faith when you pray the prayer of faith, you know what's going to happen. The prayer of faith isn't going to work. And so then people say, "Oh, that prayer of faith, yeah, I heard Pastor preach on that before. It doesn't work. I tried it. I did it. It didn't work." Well, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Were we in faith when we prayed the prayer of faith? Right? It's not the prayer of last resort. The prayer of faith is not a Hail Mary prayer, huh? It's like, "Well, I tried everything else, so now I'm going to chuck this one up to God and see if he answers it." That's not the prayer of faith. That's the prayer of desperation. And there's nothing in the scripture about the prayer of desperation. There's nothing in the scripture that promises that God will answer the call, the prayer of desperation. But Jesus told us about the prayer of faith, or what we've come to call the prayer of faith. And so we're gonna look at this here in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Again, this is not the words of a man. It's not the words of a woman. These are the words of Jesus. Okay, he said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." And like I said, too many times people pray this prayer prematurely. They pray this prayer without being in faith, and they're trying to exercise faith that they don't have. They're trying to exercise faith. It's like that emergency shower I was telling you about last week. You know, they're trying to, they have an emergency. They're pulling the chain in that emergency shower and hoping this is going to come on and fix everything. And then the emergency shower is clogged. And the emergency shower isn't working right. And then all of a sudden, you got trouble. Now you got the mess that you were trying to fix to begin with, and now you got another mess because you tried using your faith, and your faith didn't work because you weren't in faith. That's why it's called the life of faith. That's why we're told that the just shall live by faith. Amen. It's not an emergency, button. It's not a panic button. And so we need to understand how this works. You know, and we'll come back to this, Mark 11:24, in just a moment. Like I said, too many times it's prayed prematurely. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, how many love the words of Jesus? You know, I don't really care so much about what I say, but I love what Jesus says. Amen. That's why I try to talk about mostly what he said. Amen. Because he knows what he's talking about. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. He said, if. So this is a conditional promise here. He's not saying that you can just ask whatever you desire anytime you want to ask it and you're going to get it. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that's the prerequisite to getting this, to getting what you desire. You know, it's conditional. That word abide means to live in, to settle down in, to take up residence in. So he's not talking about just looking at the Word of God or just having the Word of God memorized or just knowing it in your head. He's talking about abiding in it, living in it, settling down in it, and taking up residence in the Word of God. If we do that, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, over and over again we've been saying this, faith is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head, it's of the heart. We've got to meditate on the word. We've got to speak the word long enough until it moves from our head down into our heart. That's how it gets from your head to your heart, by meditating on it day and night, by speaking it over and over and over again, by looking into that word of God over and over again. And it says if we'll do that, then we can ask what we desire, and it will be done. That word, is cool that God wants us to have our desires. Of course, we understand we've got to rightly divide the word of truth. He wants us to have the desires that are consistent with a godly lifestyle. Right? If you're desiring three wives, well, how many know God's not on board with that? And I have to question your sanity in the first place if you're desiring three wives. I spent 30 plus years trying to figure out one. Right? And that's not a. You say that sounds like you're degrading women. You're putting women down. No. She's been doing the same thing, trying to figure me out for 30 plus years, right? That wasn't a derogatory comment towards women, but how many know men and women are different, right? Men and women are different. We those of us that are in the marriage group, we hear that over and over again. Not wrong, just different, right? He's not wrong. He's just different. She's not wrong. She's just different. And so we spend 30 plus years trying to figure one another out and figure out how to work and live with those differences and how to live in harmony. And it's a lot of work. And man, I can't imagine trying to do that with more than one. So my wife has often said to me, she said, you know, if you ever leave me or whatever, I find myself alone. She said, I'm not doing this again. Huh? That's too much work, man. I'm too old to get started on another one. and it is a lot of work, amen. But it's a work that brings rich dividends, amen. If you get it right and you do it God's way, but he said, ask what you desire. So again, let's come back to this thing I've said about faith before. This is about you believing God for yourself. When we talk about faith. Faith is not for you to override someone else's will. 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. So I can't have dominion over your faith. I can't believe God for on your behalf to make you do something or make you receive something that you're not wanting to do or wanting to receive yourself. Now, if we're in agreement and we can discuss, hey, and you say, hey, I want you to pray with me about this, and I find out that, oh, what you're desiring, what you're wanting to pray about is consistent with the Word of God. It's something that, you know, that's consistent with His Word and His will, and you want me to connect my faith with yours, then we can pray in faith, and we can to add our faith together, and then the prayer of faith becomes not just the prayer of faith, it becomes the prayer of agreement. Because now we're putting our faith together on the same thing and agreeing for the same thing. And now there's tremendous power available in that. But there's a big difference between you and I agreeing together in prayer and me trying to manipulate you or trying to control you with my faith. See, God Himself can't even control you or me. Right? Why? Because He gave us a thing called free will. So if God can't make you do right, then we can't make one another do right. Right? So quit trying to make your spouse do right. And you just focus on you doing right. And you leave your spouse to God. But you be the example. You do right. You do right by her. You do right by God. And you're halfway home there. But that's the only thing that you can control. So he's telling us here, it's all about abiding in Him, His words abiding in us. This is all faith language here, okay? And when that happens, then we can ask what we desire. If we're abiding in Him and He's abiding in us, we're not going to desire anything outside of His will anyways, right? So that's the ticket right there. So we're not talking about materialism. We're not talking about how many toys can I get, how many things can I believe God for. We're not talking about so many people have gone into the ditch and gotten off into error in this message of faith, and they brought reproach upon the word of faith because they've lusted over things and wanted things for all the wrong reasons, okay? 1 John chapter 5, let's look at this, because this ties right in here, okay, with what we're talking about, this prayer of faith. 1 John 5 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," what have we said? Faith begins where what? The will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Okay? You can't even begin to pray in faith if you don't know what the will of God is. Now don't make the mistake that the church I grew up in made and say, well, who can know the will of God? So since and that's what they believe. And so since we don't really know what the Word of God is, what the will of God is, we throw that tagline on the end of every prayer. Some of my family members still do it today. If it be thy will. You pray for whatever you want to pray for, just put that tagline on the end, if it be thy will. That's not faith. I have no clue what the will of God is, so I'm throwing up a Hail Mary, and if it's God's will, I hope it comes to pass. That's not praying in faith. That's hope and that's desperation. God wants us to go beyond that. Why? He wants you to be sure that when you pray, that when you come to Him, that you're not just wasting your time, you're not just praying to get another gold star next to your Sunday school roster, your name on the Sunday school roster. He wants you to be sure that when you come to Him to do kingdom business, that you're going to get what you came for. That's what this whole talk about faith is all about. You don't have to live and just put up with and accept everything that happens to you, and you're powerless. You're a victim. The child of God that learns how to walk by faith is never a victim. I didn't say that bad things won't happen to you, that people might not try to mess you over, but you can always rise above it, and you can always come out on top, because you were not created to be a victim. You were created to be a victor. We found out early on in this series that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if you're tired of being a victim and you want to start being a victor, then you need to learn about this life of faith. Because this life of faith, you and God can rise above anything that comes against you in this life. So quit wallowing in what happened to you. Quit wallowing and crying. And again, I'm sorry. I know some of us have gone through some horrific things, and I'm not uncompassionate about that. I'm very compassionate. My heart breaks when I hear the things that people have gone through and the pain they've. But see, you can stay there all your life, and live that way as a victim all your life, or you can get a hold of the Word of God and you can rise above. And I want to help you rise above. Amen. I want to help you rise above so that, yeah, you'll still know that that happened to you. You'll still have memory of it, but you'll have a testimony that, you know what? God brought me through that. Now that's past. I'm up here now because I went with God. I'm not still down here messing around with what happened to me, with what I went through. Okay? I'm on an upward trajectory walking with God. Amen? This is the confidence that we have in Him. 1 John 5:14-15. If we ask anything according to His will. So the good news is we can know His will. How do we know His will, Pastor? It's right here in the Bible. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, think about this for a moment. If we ask anything according to His will, it says He hears us, then the implication is if you don't ask according to His will, He doesn't hear you. You say, well, God is God. He hears everything. He does, but He doesn't hear everything with an intent to answer. He doesn't hear everything with an intent to answer. But if you're praying according to His will, He hears you. He hears you with an intent to answer. Why? Because now you're singing His song now. Huh? you're connecting with Him. You're saying, okay, God, I want what You want. See? And that's half the battle right there, wanting what God wants. Make that decision. Not my will, but Your will be done. You know, that's a different prayer than if it be Thy will. I know some people mix the two up. No, if it be Thy will is not faith. Not my will, but Your will being done. That's a consecration prayer. That's, you know what, God, I'm laying down my desires, my dreams, my aspirations, all for whatever You want. I want Your will. When a believer starts to connect with God's will and quits thinking about their own will, now God's listening, okay? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And it gets better. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, as long as it's according to His will, because we know that's how He's going to hear us, right? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. He didn't say, well, you're just going to have to sit around and see, and maybe God will do it, maybe God won't. It doesn't say that. Well, if you're the lucky Holy Ghost lottery winner this week, then God might answer your prayer. No. He told us plain and simple, if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of Him. That sounds like fruitfulness in prayer. That sounds like we're doing business with God. That doesn't sound like hoping and a praying. Oh, you know, Brian, I'm hoping and a praying. Well, I hope you have a good insurance plan. I hope you have a good job. I hope, you know, and it's still not going to be enough. But, you know, I hope you're doing more than hoping and a praying. We know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. How can we know that we have? Because we asked according to His will. And that caused Him to hear us. And the fact that He hears us, when He hears His children asking for something that's in agreement, that's according to His will, He's like, yes. Same thing we do as parents, right? Parents, if your children ask you, Mama, can I do this? And it's something that you already want to do for them, it's something you've already thought about, something you've already made provision for, are you going to say no? No. They're asking something you to do something that you already wanted to do for them. And you may have already set it all up for them, but they're asking. So what are you doing, man? You're saying, man, I'm glad my kid's asking for some good stuff. You're not asking for stupid stuff. Now, you know, I understand kids sometimes ask for stupid stuff, but that's just their kids. You understand what I'm saying? But when they ask for something serious and it's something that you want to do, that's your will, you don't have any problem answering that request. And God doesn't either. Man, He gets thrilled. Look at my child. They're asking for something. They laid down their will and they're asking for my will to be done. The cool thing about it is God has said so many things about His will for us that are so good, so over the top, that if you never asked for anything the rest of your life except something that was according to His will, you'd walk in such an enormous blessing that you would blow your mind because He's that good. He's that good, okay? So if we meet the conditions, we don't have to worry about our prayers being answered. It's just, you know, prayer begins, or faith begins where the will of God is known, okay? So back to Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Okay? Now we understand there are different rules that govern different types of prayer, just like there's different rules that govern different sports, right? You can't play basketball with hockey rules, right? I mean, occasionally that happens, and then it results in a foul, right? Because you can't body check someone in basketball, right? You can't try to slam them against the wall. You can't. So there's different rules to ensure, to play the sport correctly. Well, there's different rules for prayers, for different types of prayer, okay? And so here we're going to just break down this prayer of faith. First of all, he says, when you pray, whatever things you ask, when you pray. Now, we already understand that what we're asking should be in agreement with his will, right, from what we just talked about. So we shouldn't be asking for stuff that's outside of his will. We get in trouble when we do that. I know a dear lady. She knew it was outside of God's will to marry, to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. I'm talking about if you're not already married. If you're married and you're a believer and your spouse isn't, the scripture gives us instruction concerning that. If they're happy to dwell with you, you stay with them, and they can be saved through you. Amen? And they can be blessed because of you. But if you're not married and you're seeking to be married, you got no business going around, trying to get in a relationship with someone who's not a child of God when you are a child of God. And I tell you, I've had ladies come to me before and say, Pastor, if anyone in this church wants to marry someone who's not a believer, and they think they figured it out, and they think they can justify it, and they think they know why they can do it, can I please talk to them? Because I tell you, every church that we've pastored, we've had ladies, and my heart breaks. They went out and they knew beforehand that they weren't supposed to marry that guy, and they went ahead and married him anyway, thinking they could convert him afterwards, and their life, for lack of a better expression, has been a living hell since. Light can't dwell with darkness. It's a hard road. Marriage is hard enough when you got two people going the same direction. It's challenging enough with two people walking the same path. You got one going this way and one going that way, good luck. You know, the scriptures are not there to rob us of our free will and to rob us of our joy and to rob, you know, they're there to try to protect us, to protect us and to help us. But this dear lady, she said, I knew it wasn't God's will for me to marry this man. I knew I wasn't supposed to marry him. I knew I wasn't supposed to be in a relationship with him, but I begged God to let me marry him. Well, she didn't have to beg. God will let you marry whoever you want to marry. That doesn't mean he wants you to marry him, but you have a free will. So it's like the children of Israel when they were being led by prophets, and being led by God through the prophets, and then all of a sudden the children of Israel said, God, we want to be like all the other nations. We want a king. Give us a king. Everybody else has a king. We want a king. God didn't want them to have a king, but they kept wanting a king until finally God gave them a king. And what happened to Israel after that? As the king goes, so goes the nation. When the king's walking with God, everything's good. And when the king is not walking with God, look out. Rough times ahead, right? So, yeah, God will let you do whatever you want to do, but you want God's highest and best or not? Just as God lets you do it doesn't mean he wants you to do it, doesn't mean you should do it. Wow. Okay, so back to the word here. So therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, so we're assuming that we're asking according to his will, okay? When you pray, when is when you pray? When you pray, this is profound, listen carefully. I've studied this for years. When you pray is when you pray. It's not after you pray. It's when you pray. What he's talking about here is present tense. When you pray, whenever it is that you pray, whether you're going to pray right now at, 10:55, or whether you're going to pray this afternoon at 2 o'clock, or whether you're going to pray tomorrow morning at 6:30, whenever you pray, when you pray, is present tense. Faith is present tense. There is a time to faith. There is a tense to faith. Faith is present tense. So he's saying that when you pray, whenever that is, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So when you pray and ask God for something that we understand that it needs to be in agreement with his will, okay? But when you pray and ask God for something, he's telling us that we need to believe you receive them when you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive them. So if you pray at 11 o'clock this morning, when do you need to believe that you receive the answer to your prayer? At 11 o'clock this morning. In other words, faith doesn't pray at 11 and say, I'm praying now at 11 o'clock, Lord, and I'm praying for this to happen someday. That's not faith. Faith believes it receives now. God, I believe I'm praying now at 11 o'clock, and I believe I receive sometime next month, or sometime next year, or just one of these days, someday. You know, the cemeteries are full of people, children of God that God loves, that Jesus shed his blood for. They're full of cemeteries that believed that God was going to heal them someday. Do you believe God wants you to be healed? Yes, I do. Someday. Someday I'm going to be healed. Someday I'm going to be healed. Okay? That's not the prayer of faith. Okay? He said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. He didn't say that you have to see that you receive them. You have to believe. Some people say believing is seeing. No, seeing is believing. No, seeing is not believing. Seeing is knowing. If I asked you for directions from here to Anoda Lake, and I've never been there before, and you tell me the directions, well, then I have a choice to believe that or not to believe that. But once I've followed those directions, I get to Anoda Lake. Now, I'm no longer believing that the directions you gave me will take me to Anoda Lake. Now, I've been there, done that, so I know that those directions will take me to Anoda Lake, right? But until I've gone there for the first time, until I've gotten there, until I'm believing, because I haven't seen it yet. Say, we believe before we see. Once we've seen, well, then we know. Right? So he's not telling us here to know that you've received whatever it is you pray for. He said, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. So we have to believe that we receive it right now. So let's usually stay with your example of healing, and this doesn't apply to anything you're believing God for. This is consistent with his will. But if I'm praying for healing, I say, Father, I asked you to heal my body right now. I've got pain in my leg, and I'm asking you to heal me. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive my healing. I believe that I receive healing for my leg right now in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that I receive when I'm praying. That's what Jesus told us to do. When you pray, believe that you receive. Don't believe that you're going to receive. Believe that you receive. You follow me so far? And then what did he say would happen? He said, when you pray, if you believe that you receive them, he said, you will have them. Now, believe that you receive is present tense. You will have them. What tense is that? That's future tense. So look at what Jesus is telling us here. He's telling us that we, when we pray the prayer of faith, we need to believe that we receive now, present tense. We need to believe that we receive now, but he said you will have it sometime after you pray. You will have as future tense. So at some point after you pray and believe that you receive, he said you will have. So what we end up with is this gap. Sometimes the having happens right after we pray. Sometimes, and maybe you've experienced too, I prayed for something, and right after I prayed, boom, there was the answer. And we love it when that happens, doesn't it? Whew! We love to see what we believe for instantly. And that has happened, and that does happen. It can happen. But what happens oftentimes is people believe that they receive, and they don't see the instant thing, and so they immediately think, well, I guess that didn't work. I guess that didn't work. They're looking for the instant. They're looking for it to happen immediately, and when they don't see it happen immediately, they say, well, I guess that didn't work. Well, Jesus never said it was going to happen immediately. He never promised that it would happen immediately. He promised it would happen sometime after you believe that you receive. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So what we need to understand if we're going to walk by faith is, what do we do after we believe that we receive? Well, the number one thing you're going to do after you believe you received is not be moved by what you see. That's why we've been talking so much about not looking at the things which are seen in these last few weeks. Quit looking at the things that you're seeing. Quit looking at the things that you're perceiving with your senses, and keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Word of God, because that's what's going to hold you steady while you're waiting for that thing that you believed you received. Until that thing shows up, until that thing arrives that you prayed for, you've got to keep yourself in faith. Some preachers have used the phrase, you've got to keep the switch of faith turned on. In other words, you need to keep your faith active. You need to keep believing God. You can't be moved by what you see. You can't be getting discouraged because you didn't see it happen instantly. So you've got to continue to stand in faith while you're waiting to see that thing happen. Okay, but the standing of faith is not passive. So some people say, well, I prayed the prayer of faith and now I'm just waiting on God. Well, what are you doing while you're waiting? Well, I'm just waiting. No, faith isn't passive. So but I prayed the prayer of faith, and so Pastor, you taught me well that I'm only supposed to pray the prayer of faith one time. Because if you believe you received it when you prayed, then why would you need to pray for it again? Right? If we prayed for something at 11 o'clock and we believed we received it at 11 o'clock, then to go ahead and pray for the same thing at 11:05, guess what that does? It cancels your 11 o'clock prayer. Because you didn't believe you received at 11 if you're going ahead and praying for the same thing at 11:05. And if you didn't see it at 11:05 and you prayed the same thing again at 11:30, you just canceled your 11:05 prayer. And that's how most people live their life. They pray for something, they don't see it, and so then they pray it again. They pray the prayer of faith again, in quote, air quotes. They pray it again, and then they don't see it, and so then they pray it again, and then after about the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 20th, 30th, 110th, whatever time, they give up and say, this faith stuff doesn't work. Does it not work, or did we just not work it? See, once you believe that you receive it, your faith doesn't then become inactive. It still remains active. It's just that you change your language. You believe you receive. So anytime you think about what you believed you received when you prayed, anytime you think about that after the prayer, you thank God that you believed you received. So now, instead of praying and asking for the thing all over again that you prayed for at 11 o'clock, now at 11:15, when you're thinking about it, what do you do? Do you get discouraged because you don't see it yet? No. Do you pray the prayer of faith again because you don't see it yet? No. What do? You pray the prayer of thanksgiving. Say, Father, I thank you. You know, I still got that pain. I'm still feeling that pain, but I'm not moved by that, because at 11 o'clock when I prayed, I believed I received, and I believe I'm healed. And you think like you're healed. You talk like you're healed. And you don't let what you feel, you don't let what you perceive with your senses, you don't let that discourage you. You don't let that get you to flip the switch of faith off. You stay in faith by continuing to thank God for answering your prayer that you prayed, continuing to thank Him for what you believed you received. I've seen this happen in my life. I've seen it happen over a short time. I've seen it happen over a long time. I saw it when I was diagnosed as borderline appendicitis. You know, when we were getting ready to go to Bible school, back in our early days of our marriage, back in 1988, we were getting ready to go to Bible school. We had already quit our jobs. We had already rented the truck, and it was like 2 days before loading day, and all of a sudden I get hit with what we thought was appendicitis, went to the doctor, they did the blood test, they said, your blood count is borderline, it looks like you got appendicitis, but we're just going to have to wait and see, I don't want to do surgery now, because we want to see what happens. Well, and I'm like, well, I can't have surgery now anyway, I'm supposed to be moving in 2 days, but I can't afford not to have surgery, because I can't move with this pain. Right? So I'm between a rock and a hard place. So they sent me home, said, we'll come back and see. And so I'm home sitting on the couch, and I'm having me a pity party. You don't ever have a pity party? I used to be really good at pity parties. Man, because I was kind of a moody guy anyways in my younger days. And so if anyone could throw an all-out pity party, it was me. And I was home alone. Lori was at one of her last days of her job, I think. And so I'm having a pity party, and all of a sudden God jerks my chain. Ever had your chain jerked by God? No one here has ever had your chain jerked by God. Come on. A couple of you have. What do you mean God jerking your chain? It means I heard this in my spirit. Are you going to do something about that pain? You're just going to sit around and whine all day? Do what you've been taught to do. Do what you know to do. So I got up off that couch, and I began to talk to my body. And I began to exercise my faith. And I began to command that pain to leave my body, command my appendix to be normal, command my blood count to be normal. And I was no longer going to be moved by that pain, by the circumstance, by the whole situation. I was no longer going to be overwhelmed. Suddenly the Spirit of God came upon me, and I rose up and I was speaking with boldness. And of course, I knew the Word of God. I knew what God had promised me. I was just looking at the wrong thing. I was looking at the circumstances instead of looking at the Word of God. And so by the time I got through, man, I was still in pain, but I'm talking to myself, and I had a fever of, 104 or something like that, and I got through talking to myself. Within less than an hour, all of a sudden, the fever broke, every symptom left, every bit of pain left, and what it was, 1 or 2 days later or whatever, we loaded the truck and we moved on and went to Bible school. So that was a relatively quick turnaround, okay? I know another situation where a minister had a tumor in his chest, and they weren't going to operate on it yet, but they sent him home with this tumor in his chest. And so he prayed the prayer of faith, and he released his faith. And every day after he prayed that prayer of faith, he'd be in there showering. Every time he'd lather up, of course, his hand would go right over that bump, and he'd say, Father, I thank you. I received my healing. I already believe I received my healing. I thank you. I'm healed of this in Jesus' name. It's already been taken care of. And he'd just give God thanks. He would just praise him. This went on for months to where he didn't even really think about it. He kept saying that every day he got in the shower. Every day he would pray over. But he got to where he wasn't even hardly noticing anymore. He was just in faith, believing God, until one day he got in there and he's soaping up, and all of a sudden he's like, something's different. He looks down, and this lump that had been here for months all of a sudden was completely gone. So that took time. That took a period of at least 3 or 4 months, I believe he said, for that lump to go away. But it wasn't 3 or 4 months of just waiting. It wasn't 3 or 4 months of saying, God's going to heal me someday. It wasn't 3 or 4 months of saying, I prayed. It's all in God's hands now. No, it was 3 or 4 months of continuing to thank God that he was healed, continuing to apply pressure with his faith on that symptom, and continuing to lay hold of what he believed God for in the first place. See, that's what the life of faith does, church. You got to fight for something. You got to have some fight in you. That's why it's called the good fight of faith. You got to have some tenacity. You got to have some stick-to-itiveness. You got to be able to stand. And the only way you're going to be able to stand is to get full of this word. Because the word's the only thing that allows us to stand. Because circumstances can get nasty. They can get hairy. And they can become overwhelming. And they can throw you a huge curveball. But the word of God will be an anchor to your soul, it says. And will keep you, where you need to be with God. So, when you pray, Jesus said, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So let me ask you a question here. I'm closing here. Just a sec. Let me ask you a question. What did Jesus say that you would receive when you pray the prayer of faith? What did Jesus, I want some answers. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I want to make sure you got this. What did Jesus say that you would receive? What you believed, okay. What else? Any more answers? What did Jesus say you would receive according to Mark 11:24? It's not your question. What you want, okay, I heard that. What? Whatever you asked, okay? Any more answers? What did Jesus, according to Mark 11:24, what did Jesus say you would receive? What did he say you would receive? Not when, but what did he say you would receive? According to Mark 11:24. Whatever you asked. Any other answers? Tony? Would you pray and believe? That's the closest one. The only thing Jesus said that you were going to receive, according to Mark 11:24, is whatever you believed, you received when you prayed. He didn't say you were going to get what you prayed for. He didn't say you were going to get what you believed for. He didn't say you were going to get what you asked for. The only thing he said you're going to receive are the things that you believed you received when you prayed. You say, well, that's just being technical. Yeah, it is being technical. Your T's are being technical. When you try to put the wrong T in the lock on the door at the house when you get home, and it won't go in the T, it won't go in the keyhole. Are you being too technical then? No. Why? Because you know there's a T that fits that door, and if you use the wrong T, it's not going to work. It might ever got outside and you think you had the right key, it went in the hole. And then you couldn't turn it. And then you couldn't get it out of the hole. And then you're trying to get the thing out of the hole without breaking the key off in the hole because it's the wrong key. Right? So yeah, it can be technical, but it's not technical to keep you from receiving the promise. It's technical to ensure that you get the promise. Right? If you do what God said do, you get what he said you get. But we got to make sure we do what he said do. Because so many times we put our own interpretation on things. Well, and then we say this, well, God knows what I meant. No, it doesn't work that way. God knows what I meant doesn't cut it. Because we live in a realm where God turned dominion over to you. Satan came and stole it. Jesus came to restore it back to you, but the ball is in your court. Yeah, and whether or not we do it right or whether we do it wrong, that's on us. Because if God, oh, God knows what I meant. Oh, God knows what I need. Yeah, well, that's what got us in this mess to begin with. And that's what gets people frustrated. Well, if God knows what I need, what do I need to pray for? Because there are forces at work in this earth against you. There is an enemy to your faith. There's an enemy to you that wants to take you out, that doesn't want you to receive anything from God, that hates you. The thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I know it can seem technical when I talk about the prayer of faith. Oh, that just seems too technical. No, it's really not too technical. It's just this is the only thing he said you're going to receive are the things that you believed you received when you prayed. So if you're going to pray and ask God for something that's in agreement with his will, believe that you receive it when you pray. And he said, you will have it. If you'll keep that switch of faith turned on, you'll keep thanking him for it, stay patient through that whole thing. And by patient, I'm not talking about waiting, okay? I'm talking about being active, all right? So you don't have to feel like you receive it when you pray. You don't have to see that you receive it when you pray. You don't have to know that you receive it. You only have to believe in your heart. And then act like it, talk like it, right? Our definition of faith, back to our definition, faith is believing God's word is true no matter what any other information source may reveal, and acting on it, and acting on it. Glory to God. And so I want you to receive all that God has for you. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to do what so many have done, where they've gone down this road of faith and they haven't really taken the time to get in faith, and they haven't done what Jesus said to do. And so they get partway into this whole faith thing, and then things aren't working, and they throw their hands up in the air and they walk away. But the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. We can't afford to just walk away. Amen. And if you knew the truth, you wouldn't want to walk away. You would want to step into this life of faith where you can pray and you can get your prayers answered. See, when I grew up, the church I went to, we never expected to get our prayers answered. Oh, that isn't why we pray. We're praying because God told us to pray. But God has so much to say about us being fruitful. in our walk with Him. And one of the things He wants to be fruitful is our prayer life. He wants our prayer life to be fruitful. You know, and so we've been talking about these fundamentals of faith, but as a church, you know, the more we come alongside one another and believe God with one another, you know, there are some things that can be taught when it comes to faith, and there are some things that can only be taught. And so it's important to know the principles of faith. It's important to know the mechanics of faith and how it works, but it's also important to have a spirit of faith, to have that attitude that, you know what, if God be for us, who can be against us, man? If Jesus said only all things are possible to him that believe, and there needs to be and I believe there are some in this church that carry that spirit. It's a spirit of faith, but that spirit of faith can be infectious and should be infectious to where the whole church, imagine this whole church just full of such faith and expectation that, you know what, if God said do it, we can do it. If God said we can have it, we can have it. Amen. Where you don't have to be shy about your dreams and your expectations of God and what it is you're believing God for, but there's an atmosphere of faith in the house. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said here, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We need to not only be believing the Word of God, church, we need to be talking about it. Amen? And I know sometimes you have to be careful who you're talking to about what you're believing God for, because sometimes not everybody's on board, not everybody is a person of faith, and not everybody, you know, is full of the Word of God like maybe you are, or you're maybe like you're going to be. Hello? If you're not already full of the Word of God, hopefully this series will inspire you. I need to spend some more time in the Word. I need to spend some more time filling myself up with what God said about me instead of meditating on my problems, instead of meditating on my circumstances, instead of meditating and listening to all these people that are telling me, you know, all the naysayers and all the people that say, oh, that's never going to happen, and oh, you're never going to do that, and oh, nothing's going to ever change in your life over there, and that's always going to be the same, and that's always going to be your problem. And no. What about a church that we raise the water level? The spirit of faith permeates every person in this church, where there's not anything that we won't believe God for. Amen. Obviously, consistent with His will, consistent with His word. But the sky is the limit. Amen. Whatever God said, we can have. Whatever God said, we can do. Amen. Let there be a spirit of faith in the house. Amen. When people share the things that they believe they've gotten from God, the things that they want to do with their life, I rejoice with them. I don't think we believe God big enough, church. I believe we've dwindled our dreams and our visions down to little tiny things. I think it's time to dream again. If you're sick, it's time to dream about being well. Amen. If you're poor, it's time to dream about having more than enough. Amen. If your relationships have all stunk, it's time to dream about having some flourishing relationships. Amen. Some new relationships. To dream about your life being different, and the life of faith will help us get there. Amen. It's the life that we've been called to. The just shall live by his or her faith. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot more that we could talk about, but we're going to wrap it up with that. I want to pray for you before we conclude here today. Father, I thank you for each one here today. Father, I thank you that regardless of what our circumstances have been, regardless of what we've gone through, whether it's been our fault, whether it's been someone else's fault, something that maybe has been done to us, Father, or things that we've done to ourselves, inflicted on ourselves, or for some of us, it's just life. It's just life happening. But maybe we've been going through that, and maybe we've been accepting it without recognizing that, hey, there is a way out. There is a higher way. There is a better way. God has a better plan. Father, I believe you have a better plan. You told us in your word that you have a better plan, a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, a plan to give us a hope and a future, you said. I thank you, Father, for each one here today that they, in your mind, according to your will, you have a hope and a future for them. You have a plan to prosper them. And regardless of what we're walking through right now, Father God, oh, as we connect with you, as we choose to walk with you and to live this life of faith and enter in and fill ourselves with your word, fill ourselves with your promises and all that you've spoken over us, Father God, I believe our lives can begin to drastically change. Drastically change, Father God, and I thank you, Father. I thank you for dreams being rekindled, Father God, for hopes coming alive once again, Father, that hopes that have been deferred. Father, your word says when hopes are deferred, it makes the heart sick. Father, I pray that hopes would be revived today, Father God. Not those wishful hopes, not those, godly hopes, those expectations, Lord, that they would rise up again in our hearts, that we begin to believe again, that we begin to look to you again. And maybe some have stopped believing you, thinking that you were unfaithful, thinking that you didn't come through for them, Father God. But oftentimes when we examine ourselves in those situations, we realize that it wasn't you that failed us, Father. It's that oftentimes we failed ourselves. And we failed you. And so, Father, I thank you there's grace and there's forgiveness in the midst of that. I thank you, Father God, that through repentant hearts and through humbling of ourselves, Father, that things to begin to change in each and every one of us, Father God. Things to begin to change in this church, that this church, Father, might go forth and be a place that thrives, a place full of hope, a place full of expectancy, a place where the spirit of faith lives, a place where the spirit of faith it flows freely, Father God, among us. Let us be that kind of church, Father God, a believing church, a church that believes that nothing is impossible. Oh, and that we can do all that you've called us to do, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.